Welcome back to the Florida Travel Fanatics Podcast. I'm Clark.
I'm Heather.
This is episode 15, How to Enjoy Bike Riding in Florida. Before we get into the show, we want to let everyone know that we now have a way for listeners to make monthly donations to support our show. It can be as little as $3 a month, and there's no commitment. You can cancel anytime. If you're enjoying our podcast, we'd appreciate your support. It definitely helps with the cost and the time we put into producing each episode. We'll put a link in the episode notes to sign up. You can use Google Pay or a credit card. It'll be with a company called Buzzsprout, who's our podcast hosting company.
Condé Nast Traveler magazine recently ranked the Four Seasons at the Surf Club Hotel in Surfside, this is about 20 minutes north of Miami Beach, as the number one hotel in Florida and one of the top hotels in the world. This annual ranking actually comes from travelers and their opinions, not from the editors of the magazine. Wonder how much it is a night?
How much is it, Heather? Tell us.
It's $2,000 a night for a city view room. And a beachfront room is $4,000 a night.
That's just insane.
I know, it really is. $4,000 a night. The hotel has a great history that dates back to its opening on New Year's Eve in the 1930s. And it was the beginning of the Art Deco era. It was opened by Harvey Firestone of the Firestone Tires. So it has a real history to it. And they've kept a lot of the beautiful Art Deco features and things like that. And not only is the hotel amazing, the on-site restaurant is a Thomas Keller restaurant. It's only his only restaurant in Florida. He has the French Laundry in California and a
world famous place.
Spattering of them in New York, et cetera, et cetera. But this is the first and only one that he has here in Florida.
I didn't even look at the menu. I'm sure the menu prices are probably indicative of the room prices.
And don't $4,000 for a hotel room.
Yeah, room service. Yeah, you don't even want to know.
Yeah.
We like the Surfside area. If you want to enjoy Miami Beach, Surfside's one of those towns that kind of rolls up to the north. It's really close to Miami Beach, an easy ride share down. We've stayed there and we've done Uber or Lyft down into Miami Beach. One of our favorite live music venues down there is a place called the Gale Hotel, where we've been several times. If you go in the front of the hotel and walk toward the back, you'll find the music venue, but there's no sign up front.
It's actually spelled G-A-L-E, and it's actually on the corner of
I don't remember the street.
Collins and...
It's on Collins.
You'll find it.
Yeah.
G-A-L-E.
It's a great hotel.
It's really fun. So we ate at two really good restaurants when we were in Surfside. One is an excellent Italian bistro called Specchio. That's a family-owned, very classic trattoria, fantastic food, white tablecloth.
Burrata was excellent.
Burrata was amazing. Tile floors. It was a very, very attentive service, but it wasn't that expensive. I think it was an average meal, good wine, that kind of thing. The other one that we ate at was a quick casual. And if you don't know what quick casual is, you go to the counter and you order, and usually you'll either get a number or they'll bring it to your table. But it does speed things up a little bit. You can kind of sit wherever you want and you just wait for your food. But that place was called Street Kitchen, and it's a casual place, a variety of foods like Mexican, Mediterranean, American. A lot of it's under glass, so you can see what you're getting, but it's all fresh, made to order.
And yeah, there's such a variety there. You could eat every night there of a week, and you're there, and you would get something different every night. Really, really great place to eat.
We had a salad dressing on one of the salads, and the kitchen is open, and it wasn't super busy, so I walked back and asked one of the guys cooking if he could give me a little tip about it, and that'll be coming up soon with something we make at home.
Yeah.
So... For the first time, Royal Caribbean is using Port Canaveral as its home base for the newest ship, the Wonder of the Seas. That puts the world's largest cruise ship an hour from Orlando. Typically, the newest ships are home ported in Miami, which is the largest cruise port in the world. But this ship has 18 passenger decks. It stretches nearly 1,200 feet long and has room for nearly 7,000 passengers. And then in addition to 7,000 passengers, there are about 2,200 crew members. It's massive, and it's got to be an amazing journey to go on. It's about five times larger than the Titanic.
Yeah, 7,000 passengers, that's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
But we looked at the pictures of it as we were writing the article, and it's just like, gosh, that's a huge ship. It's massive.
A lot of the new ships are broken down into what they're calling cities, different spaces in the ship that you can go and... You know, it's a great way to for a meetup for somebody instead of it being massively, you know, walking from front to back to find somebody. You can meet them in a neighborhood, and that will make it feel a little bit smaller.
It's like neighborhoods in New York City.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the Florida travel tips for this episode, there's two big sporting events coming up this spring. The first is the Miami Open Tennis Tournament, which is the last 2 weeks of March and into the first weekend of April. It's only one of three ATP 1000 events in the USA this year, and you'll see the top men and women players in the world, Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic. It's held at the Miami Hard Rock Stadium, where the Miami Dolphins play pro football. Tickets start at $44, and they, of course, they're more expensive on the weekends. There are two different ticket sessions per day, with one starting around noon and the other one is at 7 p.m. So it's interesting that there's not like one ticket for all day, although you can get a pass for that. That time of year, it's warm. So if you can go to the evening session, that's probably a better choice. A friend of ours is a tennis coach, and he said you don't need to buy the main stadium ticket. Feel free to buy a cheaper ticket and work your way around the mini outer courts. He said you'll see just as good a play there as you will. You'll see the top players in the world in working their way up into those outer courts.
Definitely hat and sunscreen weather.
Hat, sunscreen weather for sure. And the nice thing, tennis tournaments are fun too. They're sort of a party atmosphere. It's a great place to bring a client to or friends or go with people and have a good time, have a few drinks, not unlike a PGA Tour event. The second event this spring is the Daytona 500 NASCAR race coming up on Sunday, February 19th at Daytona International Speedway. It's unusual because NASCAR has their championship race as the very first race of the season, which is backwards for most sports. But that's just the way they do it. They've been doing it for years. The track at Daytona is historic, and they call it the World Center of Racing because NASCAR racing started back in 1936, and they actually raced on the beach. To this day, there's a beach bar and museum at that spot where they race called the North Turns Beach Bar and Grill. Tickets can be a little steep at $165 a person, but there's two races before that. On Friday, there is a pickup truck race, and on Saturday is the Xfinity race, which is really the minor league of NASCAR, and it's a lot less money for tickets, and they're generally easier to get.
The Saturday race is really a minor leagues of NASCAR, where the new drivers are coming in and trying to work their way up to the big Sunday race. The truck race and the Saturday race are also shorter. They're about 2 hours versus 4 hours. We've done the NASCAR races in the past with our children when they were younger, and 2 hours is just right and definitely saves you money on tickets. One thing I would suggest is to bring earplugs, and again, hats and sunscreen, because you're out in the open.
You're exposed.
But either, just foam earplugs, because it is loud.
It's loud.
It's very, very loud. One word of advice, too, the NASCAR races, the best seats are the highest up in the stands, which is the opposite of like most sporting events. Down closer to the track, the cars go so fast, it's actually hard to see. They're like, vroom, and
you can barely see them. They're doing 180 miles an hour. I made the mistake at a Dover, Delaware race once, and you just can't. They're going by so fast, you can't even see the number on the car. There are actually two races at Daytona every season. The Daytona 500 is first, but then there's a regular race on August 26th. This year it's called the Coke Zero No Sugar 400. Thankfully, they have it at 7 p.m. in the evening because August 26th in Florida, sitting on a racetrack would be extremely hot. So at one point, that was a day race. Thankfully, they moved that to the evening race. So if you're going to be here in August, that's also a great chance to watch a race and watch it in the evening. There is another NASCAR track in Florida, and that's in Homestead, just south of Miami by about 30 minutes. That race is in October, when it'll be even cooler, and that's part of the season-ending playoffs that NASCAR has to help determine the annual champion driver of the whole season. It's only 30 minutes from Key Largo, the beginning of the Keys. You could very easily put together a great trip where you fly into Miami, spend a day or two there, go to the race on Sunday in Homestead, and then head down to the Keys for a few days.
In our next episode, we'll be talking about three big music festivals in Florida that are all coming up in March, April, and May. Moving on to our main content for this episode, we do a lot of research for the podcast episodes, and one of the cool things for us is that we learn a lot about Florida that we didn't know. We only moved here 5 years ago, and the whole point of starting the podcast was we were just amazed at all the things that we could do here in Florida. So it's been a learning process for us, and we just love sharing it. We had no idea how many places you can go in Florida and bike ride. It kind of blew us away. We ride regularly, and it's been fun and extremely interesting for us to learn about this. Florida is an amazing place for bike riding year-round. Right now, our weather is about 75 and sunny. You can do it. You know, you can go out for a long bike ride and really enjoy yourself. According to travelflorida.com, there are 178 trails in Florida covering 1,500 miles. And that's with thousands of more miles in local and state parks through communities. 60% of the people in Florida are within 1 mile of a bike trail. There are hundreds of different places to ride. The website www.visitflorida.com has the most comprehensive list of all the places to ride. There are basically 5 categories of bike riding in Florida, and we'll explain each one. Number one, bike trails. As we stated, 178 trails covering 1,500 miles. They're typically run by the county or the state. They're usually free to use, but you may pay a few dollars to park. There's a bike trail near us. We pay $2 to park. A good example of one that's near us, the Suncoast Bike Trail. It's a 48-mile long trail. It runs next to the Veterans Expressway in the Suncoast. Basically, it's Tampa to Brooksville, which is in the north. If you want to log some miles and you like road biking, this is the best place to go. The website www.traillink.com has a master list of the county and state trails all over the state. One of the things about bike trails, too, that the bike trails, 90% of them, I would say, are either very, very hard-packed dirt or they're asphalt. So No bumps, no big situations. Yeah,
easy riding. Yeah, those bike trails. Number two is mountain biking. This is something that really surprises a lot of people. So mountain biking implies that you have mountains. Well, there's no mountains in Florida, but there is a lot of mountain biking. It's actually surprisingly popular here. VisitFlorida.com lists the top 27 mountain bike trails in Florida. So the trails have a lot of technical aspects to them, short, steep drops, wooden obstacles. Mountain bikers call this kind of riding trail riding or cross-country riding. The best places to ride have a dedicated group of volunteers to maintain and upgrade the trails, and the trails are usually labeled like a ski resort, green for the easiest, blue for moderate, and black or double black diamond, the most difficult. They've got trail maps and signs that make it really easy to know where you're going and how to get around. Two of the best mountain bike trails in Florida were given the highest rating of epic, which sounds like a mountain biking term. Dude, that was epic, by the International Mountain Bike Federation. And those are Alafaya State Park, southwest of Tampa, and the world-famous Santos Trails near Ocala in the middle of the state, where there are 80 miles of trails. If you want to rent a $4,000 full suspension mountain bike for a half or full day, you can rent them at both places. At Alafaya near Tampa, there's a shipping container they've turned into a little store, a pop-up store in the park, where you can rent a bike, get parts. I actually bought a bike helmet there the first time I rode, and a cold beer after your ride, which is certainly appreciated. At Santos, there are several rental shops very close to the trail. Be sure to bring a helmet with you for mountain biking. Florida doesn't have any laws requiring bike helmets, or motorcycle helmets for that matter, but some of the good spots, Alafaya, Santos, Markham Park near Fort Lauderdale, will require helmets just for safety because it is serious mountain biking in some spots. So if you're coming to Florida to do anything resembling serious mountain biking, definitely bring a helmet with you.
On to number three, beach biking. There are several places in Florida where the beach sand is firm enough that you can ride a bike on it. This includes near New Smyrna Beach, Miami, Daytona Beach, and Sanibel Island. The best bikes to rent for those rides are either beach cruisers or balloon tire mountain bikes. Electric bikes can work as well. We like being able to ride through Miami on the back trail that's on the beach. It's sand, but it's underneath reinforced with concrete. So yeah, you have a little sand on the surface. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to walk. And what's really fun is you can see all of the hotels from the back, and there's lots of places to stop. And if you wanted to, a lot of the gates to the hotels are open. You can go in and get a drink or, you know, just enjoy the scenery on the beach.
Number four on the list is Florida State Parks. Many of the parks in Florida have bike trails. Many offer kayaking and hiking and fishing and camping. One of our favorite is Oleta River State Park near Miami Beach, which has 15 miles of mountain bike trails in addition to the kayaking that we enjoy so much.
Five, commercial bike tours. There are many locations for beach bike tours, historic bike tours, electric bike tours. I think the list could go on and on. The nice thing about those is that it's guided or self-guided, so you'll know where to go. The bikes are included. You don't need to worry about figuring out where to rent one. The rides usually are about 2 to 3 hours, which is plenty for most people, and they run typically about $50 to $75 per person. TripAdvisor has a good list of tours, and we'll put that in the episode notes. But once again, if you don't want to wear somebody else's helmet, bring your own.
Speaking of bike rentals, there's a lot of places in the state to rent bikes. Beach towns always have bike rental stores. In Miami, they have the City Bike, C-I-T-I, which I think is affiliated with City, the bank company, that you can rent by the hour or day. And that's similar to other cities in the U.S. like New York. There's a lot of places to rent. When I was doing research for this episode, I came across dozens and dozens of places. Yelp.com is probably the best place to look for those for rental shops. And you can read reviews there. And I'm going to pre-build some links for different areas in Florida so you can see those. And I'll put those in the episode notes. Another tip is that in many cases, a hotel or resort that you're staying in will have bikes you can use as part of a daily resort fee. So when you're researching hotel rooms and you want to take a bike ride, look at the hotel amenities for the listing for the hotel and see if bikes are included. There's a Residence Inn we like to stay in Sunny Isles Beach. They offer free bike usage as part of their resort fee. That's pretty common.
A lot of times you need to book it at the front desk just to reserve it. But again, it's part of your resort fee most of the time. So there's no fee, additional fee.
Personally, our three favorite rides in Florida. Number one is the Courtney Campbell Causeway, which is a 9-mile ride from Tampa to Clearwater on a trail next to the waters of Tampa Bay. It includes a unique, really unique dedicated bike and hike trail bridge. I'm currently working on a YouTube video for this. We were there recently, and I'll be putting that up on our YouTube channel fairly quickly.
Number two is Alafaya State Park for mountain biking, which we mentioned earlier in the episode. It's a real mountain bike park, but it also has two green trails and cross trails that we really like. It's a really fun place through palmettos and a very, very simple ride for somebody who's a beginner, but also being able to do, you know, veer off and go if you're really experienced.
Right. Yeah, don't be intimidated by the idea of a mountain bike park. You can be a recreational rider and just ride the green trails. There's one called Sandpine that we liked and another one called Rock Garden, which is good to have a little bit of suspension on to ride that. And those are really easy to ride. And the parks, the mountain bike parks in the summer with all the rain can get a little muddy. And the ones that are sandy are the ones that are clean and easy to ride. And you can ride those year round.
Number three is the Miami Beach Boardwalk. It's 8 miles between South Point Park, which is the southernmost point of Miami Beach, and that's where the cruise ships come in and out, and Surfside, which is 87th Street. As I mentioned, it's a great beach front ride, but also cool because you can see the pool areas of all the boutique and funky hotels in South Beach. Some of them have bar areas where you can come off the beach and get a drink, even if you're not a hotel guest.
There's two rides on our bucket list. One is the Conservation Greenway Levee ride. So that's a lot to say. And that's at Markham Park on the edge of the Everglades, not far from Fort Lauderdale. When we're leaving the Fort Lauderdale area and heading back to Naples and ultimately to our home in Tampa, we see people riding on the levee. And every single time we look at that and think, that's really cool. You can ride on the edge of the Everglades. It's actually in Markham Park, a very popular park in that area. It also has jet skiing, a butterfly park, hiking trails, and a gun range. Welcome to Florida. The other one we really want to do, we've read a lot about, is in the Florida Keys. They have what's called the Overseas Heritage Trail. It's 106 miles of recreational biking and hiking and kayaking and fishing, and we're not going to ride 106 miles. But there's 23 segments of 70 miles of paved trails, most of which is on the train bridges built by Henry Flagler, the railroad magnate, and is an incredible engineering feat of building an overseas rail bridge through the Keys. When he did that, that was ridiculous. Not long after he built it, it was hit by a hurricane. A lot of it was damaged, but they've left it up, and that's part of the ride.
I think that's really great how they can reuse it.
You can ride on some of the bridges that he built to build that railroad, which I think was the 20s or 30s, which is a pretty amazing feat of engineering at that time.
Two other bike rides that we like and want to do is Hollywood Beach Broadwalk, not Boardwalk, Broadwalk, between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. It's only 2.9 miles, but it's a cool ride, and there are several places to rent bikes. Tampa has a once-a-month free downtown historic group ride run by a couple of locals. So if you guys get to do these before we do, just let us know.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode and hope you get a chance to do some bike riding while you're in Florida. Details and all the things we talked about, as usual, will be links in the episode description. There's going to be a bunch from this one because there's a lot of cool bike links out there. Check us out on our YouTube channel, Florida Travel Fanatics, or our website at floridatravelfanatics.com. Please do us a favor, too, and leave a review of our podcast on Apple Podcast, or just do the 5-star on your podcast app, which certainly helps promote our podcast. And if you're enjoying our podcast, please tell your friends.
Sunny days ahead.